In today's episode of Rise, Grind, Repeat, we talk to David from Onetta Design. Talk about how he's going from a solo entrepreneur to building an empire through video production. Let's dive right in. David, thank you so much for joining on another episode of Rise, Grind, Repeat. I'm more than excited to have this conversation, you know, checking out your website. You're all about telling stories and helping clients tell stories. Yeah. We're big on that, just helping drive sales through storytelling and whatnot. So on the same wavelength of what it takes to produce, get out there and whatever it may be, that's ultimately going to help your client grow. But before we nerd out too much on that front, would love to, who are you and kind of what's your backstory?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before anything, like, I'm super happy you guys have me on and the setup, like, guys, I don't know if you're seeing this, this whole setup is beautiful. Like, you got the close up, you got the wide, like, I love it. But, yeah, so like you were saying, storytelling, I think, is one of the greatest things. And it's one of the things that stayed in our history of human beings from the beginning of when we started, you know, communicating to now. It's like one of the most powerful things that we have. And that's how we've been able to evolve as humans, because we are able to share those stories. And so this new medium of storytelling through visual, you know, visual storytelling, yep, is one of the greatest things we have right now. So it's almost like people don't sleep on it, because this is where we're headed. The visual medium is definitely a strong one.
Yeah, I think, I mean, all throughout history, there's always some form of storytelling, whether it's by campfires, and now we got podcasts, we have it. And basically throughout everything, the one thing that has remained the same is everyone likes a good story. And it's especially with today's attention spans, less than a half a second long. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, if you have a good story and can tell a good story, that attention span increases. And the more you can do that, you're going to build a relationship with your audience. And naturally, that's going to drive sales. And so I think the art of storytelling is where it's key, because I think more and more people pick up a camera, go shoot, turn on a mic, go do a podcast. But I think doesn't mean that it's a good story.
Yes. And I think that's where people have to be careful for, like when they're hiring like a videographer, like us, we're story oriented. And that's the people you want, because the best way to sell something is telling a story. Yeah, like you said. And if you have a good VR offer and they know how to keep people engaged, I think there's like a, for me, I feel it's like a 5 second rule in your videos. 5 seconds, keep them engaged. But like you said, with TikTok and all these, like, man, people's attention spans are so low. I think you got like 3 seconds to hold someone right in the beginning.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think really have to have the creative juices. But I mean, were you always into video? I mean, were you 2 years old picking up a camera shooting, or when did video become part of your life?
So I've always liked video. So I love the idea of being able to, edit. I'm fascinated with VFX and all that stuff since I was little, but I didn't think that was going to be a career or anything in my future. Yeah. Right. I always thought in the beginning I was going to be like my dad, a military man, you know, kind of that rough and just grind all the time. And then they found I had asthma, I have back problems. No. So I was like, okay, I'm smart enough. Let's help out. You know, I'm a very nurturing person. Let's help people out. So I said, okay, I think doctor, I'm smart enough. Let's study. Let's, study the books. And, going into it right after I graduated with my bachelor's, I was going on my way to take my MCAT. And I was like, you know what? I don't like how the medical industry is handled. Like, it's mostly insurance stuff and you're not actually helping. So you kind of tell people, hey, this is how much it is. This is how much your insurance covers. Do you want to go through with the process that might save your life? And I'm like, how am I going to say that to someone? Like, that's, I don't know. And I saw that through the clinicals of people shadowing some doctors. So I said, you know what? I'd rather be happy and pursue something that I feel like I can actually help people. Because one of my ultimate goals is direct films that will kind of inspire people. And I know that I enjoy making these little commercials for businesses to kind of like showcase and get some of my practice on with those. But
that's cool. I mean, that's, tip my cap to you. I mean, to go through college, to be able to almost get your MCATs and to be, this just doesn't feel right. And to be able to pivot and do it, I mean, it's huge. It's I'm big on opportunity costs. I learned this. I majored in accounting, and a lot of people, with how they equated it was, they'll get in so deep that they go, well, I can't turn back now because I've already I've already dedicated all these resources and time, but it's like, yeah, but that was 4 years, 3 years, whatever that time frame is. It's like, so are you going to waste 30, 40 of your next years because you think you're in too deep? Was that a tough move to make?
It was the toughest. I physically got ill. I think I fell into a depression. It was my body was not handling that choice really well. And it's not an easy choice. And if you're hearing this, this is the thing that you're hearing to make that transition. It's not an easy one, but it's possible, and it'll save you, you know, in the future. Cause I don't want to go through being a doctor and not being happy and, just depression my whole life. No. So one of the things that I helped me is this little saying that said, how to think about what you spend and how you invest in and stuff like that. Just because you paid, I don't know, some amount of money for a movie doesn't mean that you have to watch the whole movie just because you don't like it. And number one, you already spent that money either way. And number two, you're wasting your time, which time is money. So it doesn't benefit you to watch that whole movie. You could just take your loss and then do something else with that time instead of sitting through a movie you don't like. And I was like, I can apply that to school. I'm already in so much debt. Yeah, I got a family that I got to think about for security, and going this like filmmaking route is like not secure at all.
Yeah.
But I was like, I trust myself. I trust the process, and I'd rather spend that time doing something else than not enjoying my time in the future.
Yeah. I mean, as a doctor, there's a good salary with that, but if you're not happy, that could lead to other things that happen in life that just makes it unhealthy. I mean, that, talk about family, and if you're unhappy with what you're doing and regret the decision, I mean, it's amazing how many people dwell on, but I spent so much time doing this. And like you said, it's already wasted. There's nothing that you can do to get that back. Really, the question is, are you going to let that impact how you then invest your time as you move forward? And it's see so many bad investments happen, not only from just what you want to do in life, but even talking marketing and all that. It's like, well, we've been doing this campaign for so long, it's going to work. And it's like, well, it's not. I mean, you could either continue to try. I mean, you've tried as best as you can. If it's not there, let's pivot. There's nothing wrong with pivoting and adjusting on the fly. And so, I mean, with that being said, at what point did you go from I'm becoming a doctor to I'm starting a video production company?
So, in the beginning, I wanted to just make movies. And I didn't even know it was going to be like lucrative or anything. I just said, hey, I want to make some movies. I have so many ideas. So I'm kind of in a position where I'm a writer director. So I write my films and I kind of direct them as well. And I saw that there wasn't a lot of money into that you had to put up all your money to make those films. And I was like, what the hell? Like, my family's starving. I got to do something. So then, I did one, and which is really funny, is that my films almost have a commercial like script to them.
Okay.
So I didn't know this, but they're like, I really like this video, and then they're like, you should turn one of these into like a commercial. I was like, okay, and then I sold it. And I was like, oh, all right, there's money into this. All right, so let's keep going. And then I started like going to businesses and saying, okay, you guys want to buy my commercial and stuff? And I didn't know anything about business. I just knew the creative side of it. And it was a long process of learning how to sell and how to market and all this stuff. And now finally I feel like, okay, I know how to sell a good video. But yeah, so in the beginning it was tough because I didn't know nothing. I didn't know how I was going to make money.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's funny. We had a podcast earlier where he helps businesses with B2B sales. And I think generating new revenue is always the hardest thing for businesses, let alone people that are just starting out. Most you're passionate about what you do, but selling is a beast of its own. It takes a certain personality and all that. So, I mean, knowing that they took on debt, you're wanting to start this. I mean, what was that process like? What gave you the confidence to just go out and do it? And I guess, are there any tips for any entrepreneurs out there that are just starting their business on how they can go out, boots to the ground, and sell their product or service?
Yeah, definitely. I think, everyone has their own hardships. Everyone's going to have their own hardships. So it's not going to be a universal tip, but, for me, it was having that family to think about and stress about. But definitely take all the opportunities you have and make connections. What I learned about even in pre-med, I it's not about studying all the material. It's more about connection. I think everything you do, anything, any industry that you're in, if you can make those connections and meet people that will help you, and you're around people that you want to be around, that you want to be like, that's like gold. That's where you should start. So before, and I've seen people that make videos, and I'm not, you know, trashing anyone, but like make videos less quality than me, or I put more effort into them and they're just more successful than me because they make those connections. Mm-hmm. So it's those connections that you got to make when you start a business.
Yeah. I think, I don't know who said it, but your net worth is your network, or your net worth is your net worth. I mean, it is a correlation. I mean, I've seen it before too, where it's like, man, see another agency win business, and it's like, we know we have better numbers than them, but it's that they're the decision makers, next door neighbors to someone else. And it's that networking. And I think a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs get caught up in, I need to get the word done, but fail to make those connections. And I mean, you think if you don't get the word done, you're gonna not get ahead, but it's sometimes, well, learn how to delegate a little bit so that you can go out, build that network, and through word of mouth and all that type of stuff, all of a sudden opportunities come by, and it's all of a sudden you explode.
Yeah. Like you said earlier too, it's just better with like a team. Like, you find people you trust, make those connections. And in filmmaking, they say it takes a village to make a movie. Mm-hmm. So if you have that team and that support team behind you, I think you'll just succeed.
Yeah. No, and I love that mindset, because like we were talking before, I think everyone in here has played sports in the past, and it's, you know, you see all stars and the Michael Jordans and all that, but he can't alone win a championship. The one player, you'll have a better chance if he's on the team, but it's going to take other people around and having their responsibilities, what they're working on, and together collectively, you guys accomplish a goal. And that's winning the championship. That's winning that client, whatever it may be. And where are you at? Do you have people that are helping out? Are you leading the charge yourself?
I so right now it's just me, and I'm telling you guys, it's not easy by yourself. You got to find those people. You can't do everything by yourself. And you know, sometimes I call friends, I call people like, hey, you know, I know you got my back when I have a big project. So in those terms of like, when we have work, I have a team. But when it, you know, all the behind the scenes, it's just me, and it's not good. You got to have a team. Yeah. But one of the things, and when you were talking about sports, it reminded me of a topic that I think is really crucial for those beginning entrepreneurs, is have that relationship with failure. Because, for me, I didn't go, like, I went to pre-med. I didn't go to film school. So, but I had the passion for it. And the only teacher was a failure. I had that perfect relationship with failure because of my scientific background. Scientists, they lean into failures. They lean into those missed scientific projects, because that leads you to the closer truth. So knowing that, I was like, okay, let's buy a camera. I bought my Nikon D7000, which is a photography camera, not a film camera, which I didn't know at the time. And I would show up to these shoots and they'd be like, oh, you call yourself a filmmaker with that camera? And I was like, oh yeah, it's a camera, right?
Yeah.
And at first I didn't know. And then I tried even harder. I would blow them away with the video at the end. But the way I promoted my videos when I had that camera, since it wasn't good in low light and it wasn't good, it wasn't that good for videos, I would say, oh, I can give you a very stylized VHS type look and make
you're a salesperson. You're a salesperson.
People ate it up. They're like, I love it. I love it. Until I got my better camera. But having that relationship with failure is crucial. Lean into it, make failure ally, and make it your teacher. Don't be afraid to fail, because that's the only way, that's the best way to learn.
Yeah, I'll mess this quote up again, but I think it was Thomas Edison. He failed 100, or he learned 187 times before he actually made the light bulb or something like that. And it goes to show, I mean, as soon as you fail, it's not, oh, bummer, I can't figure it out. It's, oh, as long as you learn something from that, get back up on the horse, try it again. That persistence is what pays off, and eventually you'll break through and get that breakout moment, whatever it may be. And I'm a huge believer in fail fast, learn quicker, and just keep growing. I mean, it's business never stops. It just keeps evolving. And so, and no one's going to start a business and grow it and never fail. So, get used to getting punched in the jaw. I mean,
you should approach those failures with like, yes, let's do it. Like, excited. Like, if you're going through a hard time, life is a movie, you know, like if there was no failure, no down times in your life, the movie would be boring. Like the whole movie, the point of a movie is to have that, you know, that challenge in the beginning, how to overcome it, and then that climax, and then the resolution. So why would you want a life that doesn't have that, you know, that downfall?
No, I love it. And I mean, pretty much what you spoke to is kind of the hero's journey, and whatnot. And I guess kind of moving towards the video side of things. I mean, you help businesses quite a bit. That's why I love the marketing. I love being able to have a strategy, present a strategy, it gets used, and then you see it drive sales, and then you see the business owner happy. I mean, that's best case scenario. You grow with them and everything. How do you, I mean, more and more business owners and entrepreneurs are seeing the value in video. How do you approach, I guess, business owners and go through that creative process?
So first, it always starts with the meeting. I love meeting people and making sure that they trust me that first before we even start, so they know they're in good hands. And then I have a film treatment where we get down and we find out what their goals are for that video, the mood they want, what they want. So everything is written down on paper so that they know what to expect when they get that video. And if they're like, oh, this isn't really what I wanted. I was like, your goal says that you wanted more followers, but you're back in your mind, you were thinking more clients. So you got to be clear with that. Yeah. Yeah. And I try to make it clear as day when we sit down and talk. But then I tell them, I go over different, depending on what kind of video they want. I explain the process of it. For example, for commercials, it's like a script process of like, you know, you introduce a problem and then you know, all that steps. And then after that, it's three stages that we go into. It's pre-production, then production, then post-production, and the client's kind of there to kind of monitor each one. But it's super simple. Like, you know, you come to me with an idea, it could be like the simplest idea. And as a director, I'll, you know, make you a whole perfect story about it. So
that's cool. And I mean, going back, hero's journey, you make a story about it, knowing that you help brands tell a story. I think what you mentioned, you said you wanted followers, but in reality, you thought followers are going to lead to sales. I mean, most people's objective is to generate sales. Have you found a secret recipe or formula, or what does that look like, knowing that most of the objective is sales? How do you bring the storytelling aspect into it?
So one of my favorite kind of sequences to follow is, I think it's like, I always mess it up, but it's like a 6 or 7 process where we kind of just introduce the problem. Mm-hmm. So I think that's number one. Then we agitate that problem, and then we introduce the client service or product, and then we explain how that product is the solution to the problem. So now already people are starting to see, okay, I don't want that problem to be happening to me. That could happen to me. This is the solution. Then we explain, so that's 4. Then we have testimonials, because in sales it's key to have trust and to make, you know, that connection. And then finally, it's the call to action, which is super important. Oh, actually the first one, and this is the most important one, is the attention grabber. Because with social media and all these commercials, you people will turn away, people will just like swipe. So you got to get their attention. So attention, problem, agitate that problem, then introduce your product, the solution, the benefits, and then the call to action.
I love it. I think the attention grabber is the big one that's usually missed. I think most people try and, I need to tell the problem and what I do early on, but it's like, I mean, like we're discussing earlier, people, their attention span is 0.5 seconds long. And so it's like, if you don't have that, I mean, seen stuff like Dollar Shave Club where things are blowing up. Yeah. I mean, do you have a go-to in terms of what that attention grabber typically should be? Is it done through the script, the visual part, or is a little bit of...
So personally, my favorite is the visual part. Yeah. Sometimes it can be the if the product or the service is a little crazy, I don't know, like maybe he's a plumber, we could add it into the script. And I know you could think already the gears turning of how we can make it funny. But usually for me, it's in the VFX. It's in the, like, the, I don't know, like, for example, I had one car commercial where it's just a regular commercial, right? Oh, the MSRP, this and that, the car driving. And then all of a sudden the salesman rips through. And then it's a green screen, but he rips through and says, before you finish that commercial, let me just tell you about the sale that we have, this and that. And then, all right, back to the commercial. And then he kind of like pieces it back together. And then, so like that attention grabber, like I love that one, but each one is different. Cause I don't know, each yeah. business is different.
Yeah. And, again, going back to most businesses are understanding the value of producing video. I think everyone can say, hey, you know, video captures attention. You can communicate a lot more in such a short amount of time. What has been the biggest, I guess, epiphany or I guess in your sales process whenever you communicate something and business owners are getting it where they see the value in video?
And personally for me, it's still hard to find those people that, mm-hmm. because a lot of people don't know what to do with them. The videos that we provide. So I try to explain like these are options that you can do, but most of the time they still take those videos and they just post them. And I'm like, yeah. Ugh, like I try to keep up, but when they do understand the value of those videos, they've already practiced with, so like Facebook ads and social media, they have a marketing team already and stuff like that. So it's mostly talking to that marketing team and explaining to them, oh, we should do this. We should come up with a strategy. Cause if you want to really advertise your business, you have to have a strategy. And that's when that's when I start talking to the marketing team and say, all right, this is the videos I can provide. I think it would be really smart to use it during this time, this season or this holiday. Yeah. So I think it's crucial to know, not just, you know, the business that you're giving a product to, the videos, but to understand their world and see how they can use them.
Yeah. And you know, my background is the Google ads, Facebook ads and all that. And it's been fun learning the video aspect. I used to think, oh yeah, you just pick up a camera, shoot two right. a day later, it's all done and looks great. Yeah. And that's certainly not the case. Uh-uh. But through that process, it was, we weren't marrying the distribution with the production and everything. And so it's like, to your point, you get this video, spend all this time and energy producing it. They put it up on YouTube and it gets 8 views. Then it's like, well, I don't want to do any more videos because I didn't generate any sales. How much do you communicate with the marketing department on that distribution plan? I mean, is it, because it's almost like, it's almost needs to be a must. It's that question needs to come up. All right, we're going to do this, but what are you going to do with it afterwards? Because it's like, if they're not going to do anything, they're not going to see the ROI, and then they're not going to come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was the point. And that's what you want. You want consistent business to come through. And mm-hmm. and that skill of being able to communicate that up front is crucial when you're starting a video marketing business. So I try to find those clients that already know, like, for example, like Larry H. Miller, Dodge Ram, they have that marketing director and all that stuff. And I say, okay, perfect. We already know what we're working with, what's worked, what hasn't worked. Let's try these ideas and let's put them out there. And then they have that leeway of figuring out what works. Another thing that really helps is, and the clients understand, is like a video marketing funnel. So you have all these little contents out. And each one has a call to action for something. So let's say a landing page. And then that landing page has a welcome video. And that welcome video kind of explains like who they are, what the business is, and basically what I explained with the attention grabbing, the problem and all that stuff. And then then that has a call to action. And if they don't follow that through, maybe they entered their email to watch it or something, then you have automated email videos to kind of get them back in. So as we go, we're funneling them into a sale, and they can see that, they visually see that. Yeah. The client sees that and they say, okay, I see the value in that.
No, I love it, because that's, I mean, with the powers of the Facebooks and YouTube and all that, being able to retarget video viewers and going back to people have short attention spans, one thing that we kind of see quite a bit is that everyone wants to put everything into a huge 4 or 5 minute video. And it's like, look, no, how many times do you land on a website, click play, and then watch a full 4 minutes? I mean, whenever you say it out loud, I mean, 4 minutes, that's not a lot of time. Long, but right? If you were to sit there and get a timer, it's like, that's a long time.
It's funny because my clients are like, so I'm looking for like maybe a 10-minute video. And I'm like, what? We're not doing that. We're not
making TV shows.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, look, let's do 30 seconds or 15 seconds. They're mm-hmm. like, what? What am I paying for? Like, that's nothing. And I was like, trust me, less is more, especially with our attention spans. And I think a lot of people don't understand that they want, like, I think one client said, okay, so I have a brand for myself, then I have a nonprofit, and then I have my sports career. How do we integrate all that? And it was early on in my stage, and I was like, okay, well, let's focus on one and then kind of just push the other ones, like kind of to promote that one.
Yeah.
That even was way too much for the video. It was a nice video. People liked watching it, mm-hmm. but they left with like, wait, what am I supposed to care about? Am I supposed to care about this or that? So definitely try to niche down as much as you can on the video, focus on that, target it, and more quantity is better than that one quality of how much substance is in there. Yeah.
I love that, because what we're trying to push more is instead of just doing one video, how can we, over the course of 6 months, 12 months, whatever that is, what does your content calendar look like? What do you guys have laid out from a campaign perspective? And it's almost, instead of spending $100,000 on one piece, how can we take that $100,000 and do it over the course of a year? I mean, would love to be getting scopes work at $100,000. But as an example sake, instead of, I think people love to try and put all their eggs into one basket and one piece of creative. And I just listened to a podcast where they use AI to determine how long an ad runs. And it's literally like 28 days before people start to see it over and over, and they fan it out. And it's like, you spend a lot of money on that one piece, you're missing a lot of opportunity on continuing to tell that story. How do you have that conversation, or is that something that comes up? Because again, we deal with it quite a bit where it's like, I want to make this one sweet piece. It's like, well, you know, if you're telling a story, it's not, you know, what are the sequels? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I explained to them that the most important part, because if they don't understand the sales funnel part of that, about it, where they get a lot of videos and each one, you don't want to cast a big net, because that net isn't going to catch everyone that you want. So you're thinking, okay, I'm going to cater to, let's say they are like a event, you know, let's cast a net for like the weddings and like the DJs, all that stuff, and find them all. Some of them aren't going to be in that video. They're not going to care, but you're still putting the effort into casting that big net. Instead, you can cater each video, separate that huge video into like five, and you're going to get most of those. You're going to cast a net for just the wedding filmmakers, DJs, this and that. And you're going to get more traction out of those single videos. So when they don't get that, which that kind of really helps them, yeah. I explain it to where it makes more sense for just their business. I say visibility is key. And since we're now living, especially after the pandemic, we're living on a virtual, you know, world, our online presence is more important. You want your visibility to stay active. The more visibility, the more people trust you, the more people will see you and think of you when they need that problem solved. So to keep up on that visibility, you're going to need a lot of content. Yep. So stay active on that content. We can provide that content, free up your time, instead of you doing like, you know, going to places and showing up, you know, because yeah. you can expand your visibility more with videos than in person or in messages.
Yeah. I mean, with one video, you can communicate to a million people at once. It's tough unless you're a big old speaker and, yeah. you know, people are paying to come see your seminars, whatever it may be. But I love the analogy you meant with the wide net or small net. I think, I mean, we bring it up with on the ad side quite a bit where it's like, well, instead of everyone gets so fixated on the, oh, there's 1.3 million people in this audience. It's like, well, you only have a budget enough to reach 1,000 people. So yeah. It's like, how can we dwindle this audience down to know exactly who these people are so that we can have a conversation? And I think a lot of business owners, again, want to try and consolidate everything into one piece of creative, hit everyone. And it's how I try to equate it is, you know, kind of going out and yelling to everyone what your message is and no one's really hearing. Where if you know that you fix a problem and you see that person has a problem, communicating, you have more of a one-to-one conversation, that's going to lead to that sale a lot more than just running around yelling, I'm a marketer, I'm a marketer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly how you explain it. Because, exactly. If you know what they want, you can target them. And instead of having, let's say, 1,000 people view it and it's a wide range of net, 500 don't really care because it's not really for them. But if you make it smaller and you target those people that actually have that problem, then it's almost like 100% of them clicking through and
that's, yeah, it's a good way to put it. It's like, yeah, sure. You have the 1.2 million people that you can reach, but probably 1.1 million don't even care what they don't have a need for your product or service. Yeah. And so it's like, you're almost wasting money unless you're Apple or Tesla and having a limited budget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, deep pockets. Mean, but yeah, definitely. I think that's the best way to start doing content. And what we're doing to kind of facilitate that is because I know people, companies kind of have a hard time to, oh, okay, I need video content. I know it's important, or they're telling me it's important, but I got to go find one now. And then, oh, okay, I liked him and I got to go reach out back to him and say, I want it for next month. So what we want to do is we want to start a membership where people can just pay and consistently get their content done each month. And they just don't have to worry about it. It's in the back burner and they know they're getting that content they can just use. So that's in the works right now for us. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You excited to roll that out?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of details that, because I don't know, I haven't seen it done in this way. But so we want to make sure we cover all our bases.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the way to go. Because, I mean, to your point, you need more than just one piece of content. But if it's always like, okay, what are we doing this next month? I think if you have a system that kind of onboards, like, hey, we're doing this over the next 6 to 12 months. What are we doing each month? And there's a clear path. You know that you're making revenue over 6 to 12 months. So you can maybe come down on the cost per video, make it more accessible to the business owners and whatever it may be. And I think it's a smart model.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I definitely recommend it to everyone. Like, I just think like that's the next, because like you say, people are starting to see the value in video. Mm-hmm. So if they see the value and they know they need content like that, I think everyone should start moving into like a more of a membership type paid, where people, it's more secure, especially for your own business and then for the client's business. Mm-hmm. They know they're getting that security of, and if they like your business, they don't have to worry about it again.
Exactly. I mean, you're only going to drive better results, because, I mean, it's like you've mentioned, if you have the one, people are going to see it and kind of phase it out. If there's new videos coming out monthly, little snippets, you get so many different looks and feels of the brand that it's like it keeps catching their eye, and then they remember who that brand is. And whenever they need that product or service, they're going to come to that brand. And so all you're doing is helping brands stay top of mind by continual content production, which is ultimately going to drive more sales, which then is going to get them to turn that 6 month contract into 12, 18, 24, because they're seeing the ROI of it. And that's all business owners care about, is sure the cost, but it's, am I going to make more money than I'm spending? And you're setting yourself up perfectly, one, to have, rather be chasing a new client every month or every project. Now you got 6 months of work, and then you can forecast your revenue a bit better. And I think it just works out for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So super excited. I hope everything goes well with that.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, look to the website. You have some cool clients that you worked with. What's been the most exciting project that you've worked on?
Most exciting project. Oh, man.
And it doesn't even need to be the marketing side. I mean, if you have a film that you've done.
Well, because, you know, commercials are fun and everything. But like when I compare it to like my creative films that I do on my personal side, like, those are just, I love directing a big team, having like, you know, the DP, the gaffers. I love lighting. I come from the physics standpoint, understanding lighting is like key with filmmaking. So, you know, knowing how to put it, everything like that is just, because with filmmaking, if we want to get into filmmaking for a little bit, we can. Because like just how a painter uses paint to paint his canvas, a filmmaker uses light to make his art.
Sense.
Yeah. And so having that creative freedom, because in commercials you kind of, it's almost not cookie cutter, but it's almost like, this is the script, this is how we're gonna shoot it. You don't have that much creative freedom. But my favorite film that I've done, and it was one of my first short films, and I'm very what's the word, kind of, I don't know, like not emotional, but I love having those like little ties to my films.
Yeah.
And this one is about my dad.
Okay.
And how he came from nothing. He's just from Mexico from early age. In his teens, they left him, and he had the choice to either, you know, go to the streets, do drugs, and just, you know, or keep going to school, you know, grinding and find a way to succeed. And now he's like a colonel in the army.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's an investor and all this stuff. So, I think about him, and one of the lessons I learned from him is that, all the scars, all the failures is badges of honor that you learn and you keep with you. So in the short film, it starts out with my son as the younger version of my dad. And it shows like when his mother died, and you start to see the first cracks in his face. 'Cause what I forgot to mention is that in the video, we incorporate from Japanese culture, it's called kintsugi.
Okay.
And it's where if a vase, it cracks and it breaks, instead of throwing it away, they glue it back together with gold. So now you have this beautiful vase that has golden cracks in it, and it's worth more than what it was before. That's cool. And the meaning behind that is, even though you feel broken or you've gone through something, you're more valuable than you were before you were broken.
That's really cool.
Right? I loved it. So in the video, you see my son, you see him at a grave, and it's his mom's, and so you see the cracks starting to emerge in his face. And then he gets older, and then his family leaves him in Mexico, and you start to see the cracks, more cracks. Mm-hmm. That's towards the end. You see my dad, or it's my uncle, because my dad was overseas at the time, but it's my uncle with all these cracks all over him, writing a story about his life. And he's saying, where your failures as a badge of honor and stuff like that.
That's really cool. That's really awesome. I mean, I can totally see the passion whenever you're talking about that, the longer form videos, as opposed to just, you know, the quick punchy commercials. Yeah. You know, obviously what you're doing now for businesses is a way to bring money in to raise your family and whatnot. Do you have a path on pivoting more towards,
and this is something that I kind of wanted to talk about is that at first I just wanted to be like a freelance videographer, mm-hmm. Do something like that. I've been asked to work with different people and stuff like that. And every time I would work with them, and I would be like, no, I don't like how you're running the place. Like it's based on a lot of businesses, or just ones I found out based on lies. Like, oh, we have the best marketing agency because look at our followers numbers. And then you see their engagement. Yeah. And then you see their engagement, like 14 engagement, and you have 72,000. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm like, I can pass that. And then you work with them, you give them like the greatest work that you can. And then, they pay you like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks mm-hmm. later. I'm like, I don't think you appreciate my work. Like, I'm putting all my effort. So then I'm like, okay, no. And then I go here, I go there. I just didn't see like what I wanted to work. And I said, you know what? Why don't I be the boss that I wish I had? So I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. And in that process, if I create like an empire, whatever I do, you know, not anywhere close to that right now, but if I do, I'll probably be the founder and someone can take over and just kind of like, you know, with my ideals, run it, and I can pursue my filmmaking career.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I mean,
being your own boss.
Yeah. I mean, that's how kind of started this, is just saw, I mean, because I worked at big agencies here in the Valley and just kind of saw recommendations. And typically it was more in line with what's going to help their margin out rather than what's going to grow the client quicker and all that. And basically it was, it's what it came down to, is like, well, I can continue to do that, or I can take a step back, start something and make those better recommendations where it might not put more money in our pocket early on, but it's going to help the client grow quicker. We build a relationship, and it's more of a long-term relationship rather than trying to continually just, well, we're recommending this because we're going to make a lot of money from it. Not what it's going to help you out. And so it's awesome that you kind of saw a need. It's like, tried to fit in, tried to do these different things, work with different people. It didn't work out. Rather than continue to chase it, it's like, well, what's the problem? Why don't I like it? Let me go just create it. And that's amazing. I mean, that's literally the American dream.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I got a little backlash from it, because like, you need to make money. Like, you're in your 20s, you got to grow, and mm-hmm. You got a family to support. So just, you know, work and just like shut up and color, they said. Kind of military style.
Yeah.
And I was like, it just doesn't feel right. I got to do what feels right. I don't know.
And how did you deal with that? Because I mean, that's tough. And I'm sure there was probably some family members that were saying it. You got friends that are saying it, outsiders looking in, and it's so easy to just kind of let that affect you and just kind of go on a different path. But I mean, hearing your background, you know, your dad in the military, I mean, you seem very big on the mental toughness side of things.
Yeah.
So I'd assume that's probably what played a role. But what has it been hard to not kind of give in and say, you know what, you're right, it is tough. Why don't I just go back and do something that's more secure and isn't me running my own business?
When you have a vision and you hear that little voice, and you got to be really silent, you got to calm your mind, like don't think about anything else. And you hear that little voice that tells you, you have the the skill, you have the talent, or, you know, you have it, you could do it. Mm-hmm. And you just hear that one voice at least one time, just listen to it. Keep reminding yourself that you could do it, because that little voice is your true inner self telling you what is possible. So if you can listen to that, you know, you're going to succeed, because that's already you. It's an outside kind of perspective on what you can achieve. And it's hard. It's hard because I, even though it might seem like I have that mental toughness, I'm like the far from it. Like my wife would be consoling me like every month, telling me like, don't worry. We got this. I support you. But it's hard because even, you know, when you think you have that support system with your family, deep down, you can tell like they're like, I wish. And sometimes they bring up like, oh, your friend's a doctor now. And I'm like, yeah, he's in his final stages. He's making 80,000 right now. I'm like, oh, well, that's good. Imagine if you did it. I'm like,
just wait.
just wait. And it's important to when you start feeling those doubts, pull yourself up and just pretend. Just like when they would say, do you feel bad? Or I don't think we can do this anymore. Or you're wasting your time. Just fake it and look into their eyes and say, trust me, I got this. Yeah. You fake it, say it to yourself, fake it, and just say, no, trust me, I understand the process, I can do it. And you'll start to believe yourself.
Yeah, that's very well said. And I mean, you brought up family quite a bit, and starting a business takes a ton of time. It's pretty much like having a baby. I mean, I have a 4-month-old and I'm like, less time actually to try and raise her than getting this thing off the ground. Yeah, and I mean,
because a baby, a human being is
predictable,
and they're almost self-sufficient too. I know they need a lot of attention in the beginning, but they will on their own try to survive. Mm-hmm. The business will not survive unless you do anything. Like it'll just lay there until you do something. So it's almost like more attention than a baby.
Yeah. I mean, I never even thought about it until just kind of, you know, saying, I'm like, yeah, wow, actually, I mean, we got really lucky to have, one that's super easy and calm and all that, but it does take a lot of time and energy, and it's easy to kind of neglect those around you. And how do you go about balancing your work life, family time, friends, and all that, while also having that big vision of building the empire and staying true to that as well?
It's a little sleep. you just gotta, that's the key. Like, if I could find someone who'd give me the answer, I would pay them like a year worth of salary. I don't know. But yeah, like, for example, one thing to make my family feel secure is benefits and insurance. Mm-hmm. Right. And this job doesn't actually provide it. You have to pay, or you have to get on different programs. But so I work at UPS.
Okay.
I tell them, give me the least amount of hours you can. Like, just don't, I don't want to work here. Just give me the benefits. And then, and recently there've been a lot of turnaround rates and mm-hmm. at the job. So I'm working like from 11 to 5 in the morning. And so no sleep. Like, and then my kids, I go to bed, they understand I have to go to bed. I wake up and then they wait for me. So it's a lot of talking, a lot of communication mm-hmm. with your family. But I don't have it down. I don't.
Rise, grind, repeat.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Cool. So you kind of alluded to it a little bit, the whole membership program. I think a lot of people try and get hung up on 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plans and all that. And I mean, especially what we've gone through recently, it all change in one day, 1 week. What are some of the big things that you're working on from a business perspective and personal perspective in the short term, the next 3 to 6 months?
3 to 6 months? For example, and I don't know if you can tell, but my website's still being made because I still want to bring in all that information for mm-hmm. the membership and all that stuff. For some reason, my Wix, my domain name is not being added to the Wix account. I don't know why. I'm like, dang. So I want to down the line, in the short time, I'm going to be pulling out all the work that I do for my clients, but for myself. So making a crazy little mini documentary about my business, making the commercial, making the welcome video, setting up that funnel. Because it seems to work with my clients. I'm like, why don't I have that in place?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that thing where like where you work or where you, what you do or where you live is the least amount of what you experience. So like in Arizona, rarely go to Grand Canyon. But when someone comes down here, that's the first thing they do and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, so I could see that I need to pay attention to myself and my business. So that's some of the goals that I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it's the shoe cobbler's kids are the ones that don't have shoes. Like that, that's usually, I mean, we've been not laughing about it, but we joke around about it here as well. I mean, spent so much time producing great results for clients and it's all part of the building process. But I mean, we've gotten a lot more aggressive recently on just what are we doing for sales? We're getting ads into market, working on us as well. It's almost like you got to make yourself your own client because it's easy to neglect yourself. And then you kind of get stagnant. And then after a while, it's like, spend all these hours getting no sleep and we're still where we were 6 months ago and all that. And it's tough.
So it seems like it's crucial to make sure you don't neglect yourself, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm starting to notice too. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that being said, I mean, this has been great. Love everything. I mean, I love the determination, the vision and everything. And I think, you know, if you were able to spend more time on yourself, you might be able to do more, you know, long form documentary style things on you. Cause I think one thing that we always go through is people don't realize how much time it takes to produce good video work. And I think it's just somehow highlighting that, whether it's a documentary or something just kind of behind the scenes, but might be able to kind of stroke that fun long form type of stuff while also working on the business and use that to then drive.
It's kind of more business. And that's some of my goals too. Some of my goals is to explain kind of unravel what goes into all the work. Cause like, you know, I had one client that they asked me like, how much are you going to charge? And I was like, it was like when I first starting out again. Yeah. And I said, I could charge like 500 day shoot, you know, my day rate. And then he's like, that's a little expensive. And I was like, I don't know, man. Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, I could pay you 200, but even that's a little too much. And I was like, that's a little too much for this. I don't think you know what it's going into. I'm not showing up with like a camera, pressing record, and then I give it to you. Like it's not that simple. And we can go layers and layers deep into it. Okay, we got to learn the camera, or then we got to know how expensive these cameras are, like 5,000, 10,000 to rigged up and everything. Then we go a little deeper, and then we got to learn all the keys to how to make it engaging, how to, you know, manipulate an audience to make them want to do what you want. Because in filmmaking, that's like the beauty of it. That's why I love about it. You are able to make someone cry, make someone feel an emotion that they didn't have before. Like that's the magic of it.
Yeah.
And if I came to you and I said, hey, if how much would you pay me if I can mind control this person to buy off of you? Like you would pay a lot of money. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, you could do that. Yeah. Like I would be a millionaire.
Yep.
But they don't see that. That's what we can do. Mm-hmm. We can actually manipulate. I don't like to use the word manipulate, but we can persuade. Yeah. That's the word. We can persuade people to go to you.
Yeah. No, I think, you might be onto something there where I mean, you bring up good points that the cost of the equipment, people don't even factor that. It's like, what I'm going to come out with, it would cost you $2,000 just to rent this for a day. I mean, it's just a lot of things. And if it's not in their world, they don't understand it. And I think it only takes some education, and you can either do that on one-to-one meetings, or like I said, you can stroke that happiness and create maybe a docuseries on the different aspects of all the video creation, why you need pre-production, the cost of all this, the learning of everything. And one, it'll probably help you make more on each project. So this has been great. I love everything about you and what you're doing. I can't wait to see the continued growth. And kind of before we wrap up, we've mentioned it quite a bit. There's a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs that can all agree that video is a must and there's a ton of value. For someone that is on the fence going, all right, I might have a couple grand. I don't know if I want to do it or not. What's the biggest piece of advice you'd have for someone as they're thinking about moving forward with working with someone?
I think the biggest advice would be, well, number one, just try it once. Just try it. Find someone. These are the three things that you want to look out for when you're going to hire someone, when you want to try it. The first one is if they focus on just the camera quality and just the quality of video they're going to provide for you, they're not thinking about the right stuff. Their mindset is not on, you're not going to get what you want. Secondly, Another thing is that they have a strategy in place. They're not just going to give you a video. They're not just saying, okay, I can record that for you. Show up, and they record it. And then the third one is just the creativity. You can hire someone that has the other two and then doesn't have too much creativity. Yeah. You'll see something, but if you want the top, find someone that you, their style you like. And once you try that and you kind of implement all those things, if you don't see that return, then I guess go back to whatever you're doing, but yeah. Just know that everything is moving towards this visual medium. You could see how now we're doing Zoom calls. We're doing everything online. So everyone says the first impression counts. Why not have, and our impressions now are online. Why not have a good first impression with a nice video?
Exactly. Why not make every impression count?
I like that.
No, good piece of advice. And I really appreciate the time. This has been great.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.